Journey to Aztlan, Chapter 3, October 1977. When Mrs. Pacheco found Juanito, he was in the school nurse's office because his stomach hurt. Mrs. Pacheco knew that he had been fine all morning, and lunch wasn't for another hour. It was unlikely that he'd eaten something to make him sick. Yet, on her way to the teacher's lounge for her morning break, she saw him sitting on the exam table on the verge of tears. ¿Qué pasa, Juanito? She asked. My stomach hurts, he said through held-back tears. His shame was deep enough to cause him real physical pain. She said. You seem fine all morning. Should I call your mom to come get you? Though he did give it some thought, he shook his head. If his mom had to get his baby sister ready and then pick him up, only to find that there was nothing really wrong with him, there would be hell to pay. I think I'll feel better in a little while. I just want to let my stomach rest. The experienced first-grade teacher said. I didn't know you used your stomach in P.E. Why is it so tired? His head fell, though he couldn't help but smile just a little. She smiled back at him and stroked his hair. Weren't you having fun in P.E.? Did someone kick you, or did you fall or something? She seemed to sense that something happened during P.E. It was weird to him how she and his mom knew all the stuff he tried to hide. No, my stomach just started to hurt all by itself. He wasn't sick, but the butterflies that floated in his little belly were, in fact, painful. He wasn't lying at all about that. What were you guys playing in P.E. today? We were all going to do gymnastics and... His voice trailed off because he didn't have the guts to continue. He knew, without a doubt, that his beloved Mrs. Pacheco would think that he was a little wimp if he told her what had happened. He tried to hold him back, but all the tears he was keeping in ran out like a spooked herd of antelope. He bawled until every drop of fluid in his six-year-old body poured out of his eyes and onto the nurse's exam table. ¿Qué pasó, Juanito? She said with the same tone his mom used when she was trying to keep the boogeyman at bay. Her tone made him feel comfortable. It would be okay for him to tell her what happened in P.E. class. He looked at her through his watery eyes and felt safe. Maybe she wouldn't think he was a wimp after all. The teacher wanted me to do a somersault, and I didn't know how. I told her I didn't know how, and she told me to watch the other kids, but just because I watched them didn't mean I knew how. After I told the teacher I couldn't do a stupid somersault, I started to cry and all the kids laughed at me. My stomach started to hurt because everybody thinks I'm a loser, he said through the same huffing breath that all little kids use when they tell a story through a crying fit. No sooner did he finish recounting the somersault catastrophe than he noticed the school nurse walking into her office carrying the phone. She took it upon herself to call his mom. He saw the phone and his stomach began to ache again. Not only was he embarrassed about his P.E. failure, but he now also had to face his mom's anger for faking sick. He knew his stomach was fine. It just felt the same as when his dad would drink his beers and start to yell. By 6 years old, he already knew the feeling in his stomach quite well. He would count the beers his daddy drank, and by beer number 5, he knew his daddy's eyes would switch from innocent and safe to menacing and sinister. The feeling in his stomach told him to watch out for daddy. He could explode at any minute. But regardless of what happened, the pain that rose in his belly always went away. But sitting in the nurse's office, even though he sensed the pending danger he was facing, his only real hope for the fear to go away was that his mom would realize that it was her fault for not teaching him how to do a somersault. The nurse walked towards him, and as she approached, the feeling in his belly was as strong as it was on beer number 7. He really hated his stomach pain. But before he could grab the phone, Mrs. Pacheco asked the nurse if she could speak to his mom. The nurse nodded, and Mrs. Pacheco took the phone into the hall. He couldn't hear anything. Mrs. Pacheco kept her back towards him. Throughout the conversation, though, he could see her head nod and her shoulders jiggle. Whatever his mom was saying, Mrs. Pacheco agreed and thought it was funny. Soon, she re-entered the nurse's office and said, "Your mama wants to speak with you." He didn't have a mirror, but he was sure he was as white as Casper the Ghost. His mom was about to set him straight in no uncertain terms. "Hello," he said, but the tone of his voice meant, "Please understand, mi madrecita querida, that this whole thing is your fault, because if you hadn't made me come to school, and if you had taught me how to do a stupid somersault, I wouldn't have come down with my death of a stomachache. I could be with you and Grandma Veva, and everything would be fine." He hoped she would know, but he knew down deep that he was about to face his mother's anger. "Hi, mijo," she said. He had expected her voice to demonstrate the anger he expected, but the tone of voice actually conveyed, "I love you, and everything will be okay." "What happened in P.E.? Did you get sick?" "Nothing happened, Mama," he said, and his eyes teared up again. "Well, if nothing happened, How come your stomach hurts? Because, he said, and arose from the exam table. I didn't know how to do somersaults, Mama. And with that, he launched into torrential tears again. But, hijo, you know how to make a maroma, ¿que no? Yeah, but that's different. No, mijo. Somersaults and maromas are the exact same thing. He looked at Mrs. Pacheco. She couldn't hear what my mom was saying, but she nodded as if to say, see, you do know how to do a somersault. Get back to PE with Mrs. Pacheco and show them how you do maromas. It took a minute or so for the information to sink in. The word somersault meant to do a maroma. It was shocking and strange, but he accepted it because his mother said it was true. So he decided to go back to his PE class. Okay, Mama, he said. I'll go do a maroma. Mrs. Pacheco walked him back to the gym. Juanito's feeling much better and he's ready to do somersaults now, she said to the PE teacher and led him to the beginning of the tumbling mat. He curled up into the maroma position and maromaed his way all the way to the end of mat with such speed and force that he maromaed all the way off the mat. Mrs. Pacheco clapped. Somehow, Mrs. Pacheco knew he had a somersault in him. It was called something different, but she knew. She taught Juanito things the same way from that point on. For example, if there was a math problem Juanito struggled with, Mrs. Pacheco would weave a story into her explanation about his gamita. If your gamita, she would say, had four of her comadres over for cafecito, and two of them left, Jaminy would still be at her casita. And just like that, the story and the language would mix together in Juanito's head and come together. It was as though Mrs. Pacheco knew that the keys unlocking Juanito's intellect were language and stories. Juanito was lucky to have Mrs. Pacheco as his mediator between the cold and detached language of school and the safe and warm language of his home. Without her, he may have given up on the whole business of education. But, though the maroma was the first clash between very different realities, it wouldn't be the last, and there wouldn't always be someone there to help mediate the conflicting stories that life presented. Juanito finished first grade, but the swirling forces that emerge when two opposing forces meet had only just begun to grow.